This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this special edition of the Blues NHL podcast. You asked for it, you got it. My man, to the right, the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What's going on?
Let's go today. Let's get it out. I'll tell you what, it's unbelievable because we're sitting there texting last night about getting a show going. We obviously had to do something with the transactions and the signings and all the stuff that's gone on. And the roller coaster ride for Doug Armstrong being, you know, looked at as everybody was so mad. And the memes and the gifts that were going out there were hilarious. And then he pulls off the big trade. So then we talk about getting the show going today. And, of course, our good friend Darren Kimball, who has been working his ass off, okay? And he hasn't been able to be a part of the last couple of shows. However, it's amazing how he's able to be a part of this one, eh, Kimby? Come on,
walking
buddy.
Walking in like a boss. You like that tweet we got last night?
The Vince McMahon. I was walking in like
it
he's
was
got
pretty close when he
balls
came in
the size of church bells, you know? Good Lord.
I just love it when I'm proven right and Army finally figures my shit out. I just love that.
You got you on speed dial? Has he got you on speed dial?
I'm almost thinking he's got the drone above me wondering what I'm doing next. And that's,
wow.
He follows my shit and I like it.
From Google Earth, we sure can see that head.
There's a lot of thoughts going on in that cranium.
I started to feel comfortable, and then I got to come back to that.
Yeah, I was going to say. Geez.
Last night, I Google Earth Kimby's house. All I could see was a Blue Jays hat. It was unbelievable. It was the same size as the shed.
Didn't you notice he's trimmed down?
He is. He's fading away to nothing over here.
Yeah, he's back coaching.
Oh, boy.
He's back coaching.
Got to stand on those skates a little bit longer now.
I see you got the kids working out, so you got to work out, too. Is that what's going on there?
When you go out and skate and things just ain't sort of jiving real good, it's got to be a reason. So, you just got to get back and start to feel better, though.
A lot of people excited you're back coaching down there in GC.
All right. We'll get there.
Good for you. Well, hey, listen, we're here for one reason. And one reason only.
Oh, my God, right?
And that is social media is a buzz. To your point, it was trending south for a while. Poor Doug Armstrong says, hey, wait a minute. Let me put my full plan in here. And then all of a sudden, Twitter does the old flip-flop. And, Jamie, you had it from the beginning with some thoughts. And let's do this. Why don't you give your initial thought on the day? We'll go to you and then Kimby, and then like I said, we can really break some stuff down. But go ahead, Jamie. Your just initial thoughts of yesterday.
Well, David Perron had a hell of a year last year. He put up 60 plus points. was a great player in Vegas and turned his, I don't want to say turned his career around, but he certainly revived it. And so when we signed, or when the Blues signed David Perron, I thought, not a bad signing. Now, the 4 years, I think they had to give him 4 years based upon like what other teams were going to give him. And I'm at this point, I've got to believe, even though Army will claim that, you know, we didn't have anything in the works or it kind of had died, you've got to believe that he kind of knew that the O'Reilly thing was close to happening. So he locks up David Perron for 4 years, then goes gets Tyler Bozak. Did he overpay? Maybe, but the market was going to overpay Tyler Bozak. Why? Because John Tavares was like number one center. Paul Stastny, which I'm sure we'll get into later, number two center on the market. And Bozak was somewhere in the top 10 players, let alone centermen available in the draft, in the free agency. So you had to give him some term. You had to give him some money. But then everybody went crazy, right? Because it looked like they were done. Well, they signed Chad Johnson as the backup goalie. Not Ocho Cinco, by the way.
Although he's coming to camp.
That would be interesting.
That would be.
I bet he would crush the off-ice testing. But, you know, so in Blues Nation kind of went, you know, it had the flag at half-mast thinking we haven't done it. You know, Army got the green light by ownership to go do something special. This is all we got. Oh, my God. How are we going to do this? Where are we going to get our goals? How are we going to get out of the – how are we going to make the playoffs? And then it was great, too. It was dramatic, right? Because it was later last night. Everybody just hunkered in. Maybe a nice steak they finished. Maybe a little bottle of wine. Hey, Kimby?
A couple of Busch Lights over there. House. We see what's going on at the Rivers House.
Well, there's high no
living.
Wine.
The it's, high living.
How come when you talk to the guy from Granite, it's Busch Light?
Well, it's not really from Granite. It's more the Lucky Lake that I'm looking
at. Lucky, I was going to say. Jiminy. Although, hey, there's nothing wrong with Busch Light.
Nothing wrong. Trust me. I've consumed enough of it. Yes. Now, we get the trade alert that the Blues have made a trade for Ryan O'Reilly. And then, of course, everybody, you know, Twitter went nuts. Well, who do we give up? What'd they give up? What are we doing? All this stuff. And we find out then that we have lost Vladimir Sobotka, Tage Thompson, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and then Kimby's fan favorite, Patrick Berglund, on his way to Buffalo.
God bless.
So, to hear,
God bless him.
To think about the trade, and we'll get into the specifics a little bit more because I got papers here in front of me with salaries and term and all that. But initial thoughts are, to me, and I wrote right away on Twitter, I went to social media and said, this is a great hockey deal and a great business deal because the players make sense and the salaries offset each other. So that was my first impression. Kimby, what was your first impression?
Well, no, I was when that goes on, but let's start the day. I'll tell you what my day was like yesterday. And I was at work, so I'm working on Sunday. We were sitting there watching a...
That's what real people do, Crumbs.
Just because you work 7 days a week.
I got a guy that he's a big Blues fan. He's sitting there, and he's been watching his phone, and, you know, I'm working, and out. I come back into the office, and he'll tell me what's going on, who's been traded, blah, 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 who's been signed, I mean, whatever you're doing. He tells me the Perron thing. I'm on the opposite page on this one, Riz. I don't like it. I just don't. Third time you come back. He had a great year yesterday. God bless you at the end of your contract. I've seen that game play out many times. So and then you know when you're signing Perron though, my first reaction was, you're going to take ice time away from these young kids that are going to come in the press. That was my first reaction. So I don't know how Perron. My answer to Perron is going to have to come later on to see how Yo uses him in the lineup and where he's going to fit, where these pieces all fall, you know, because they got a guy that, you know, some people got the Bozak playing fourth line. I'm going, you're not paying a guy $5 million to sit on your fourth line. That ain't going to happen. So no. Where are they all going to – one of these guys might have to – Thomas or whoever it may be, if he's even on the team, they have to divide to the wing. And whoever the Yo and these guys decide that. So that's a judgment that's going to come later. I wasn't a fan of it because you got some young kids coming here. The Bozak, I like the deal. I liked it. You're bringing a kid in, gets out of the limelight of Toronto. Maybe he's got some talent. So, he could be your number, depending on how these guys do it. I don't know what – I don't even want to speculate how Yo's going to put his lineup together. But he could be your two center behind Shen. He could be your – you know, he's going to fit in there, whoever they move to the wing. I don't know. So then you come to the last one, and it wasn't – I'm not even – sort of into the O'Reilly camp yet. I don't know what he's going to bring to the Blues. I haven't followed it that close enough, the man. I know I've heard that he's a good leader. He wore the A out in Buffalo. There's potential there. He's been a 20-goal scorer, you know.
Great beard.
Yeah. So he's got that. And I was more happy what you got rid of. Because so, as we've talked, and it's not – and I'll get to the Berglund here in a second, but Savoca, I believe the man's quit on himself. And he does, for the way that he needs to play in the National Hockey League, at least for the Blues, he wasn't doing that anymore. So that's why I had nothing for the man anymore. So he was gone. The first rounder that you're giving up and the second rounder eventually down the road – the Blues got a lot of young talent, so you're not really going to miss that, I don't think. And you don't know when that's going to come. You don't even know what's going to go on there. And then we'll go to, you know, so let's go to Berglund for a second. And I've been hard on him ever since. Near the end of the year last year, Berglund has to play in your top two lines on any team he's going to be on. And that goes to, and what I'm trying to tell you is he needs confidence to play, because when he had the confidence, he played better. If he didn't play in that spot, God, he was shit awful, just terrible. And I'm not trying, but that's where he's got to play. So, you know, you go to Buffalo, and they're a young team coming up with a hell of a lot of talent. Like you talk about the Blues, the young kids coming. This Buffalo team's got a shitload of it. Where does Berglund fit in on that? So I don't even think Savoca.
Well,
even now, makes
don't
it.
Go worrying about Savoca in Buffalo.
No, I don't even think he's going to stay there.
Jesus Christ!
I don't even think
he didn't worry
there.
About him here. Don't go worrying about him in Buffalo.
But anyway,
now.
So where's Berglund going to fall in? I don't know that. And I don't
same
know,
thing there.
He's going to room with Rasmus Dahlin.
Jesus. So I don't know what Buffalo's plans are for him. But so as hard as I was on Berglund, if he's in the right situation, he might help Buffalo. I don't know what's going to happen. So let's go back to the Blues. Getting rid of that. And the salaries you got to come out, and you know, you get O'Reilly. It's been a hell of a deal because these guys, you had to change the blood. I want him to change a couple more bloods yet. I'm taking, but Mr. Steen needs to go down the road with this thing, I think, because he's not. I don't think he can play in your top two lines anymore, and I don't think he's going to. You know, I think that's too much. But then, you know, we got to go to the defense here yet, too, and you got four if they bring Edmondson back, which they're going
to.
They'll sign him. And I think your defense is going to be pretty good. Maybe your sixth guy, you're going to have to go look for a sixth guy somewhere probably. But I think maybe you can get rid of the one guy that's sitting there. And like Bo Meester can fit in. We've talked about this with Riz last year. You know, I think if he can understand that he's going to play less minutes, he's going to be all right. But the one other guy there,
Gunny.
That's the one. If we could somehow get him and get that contract out of our thing, I think the Blues are. I think Army's. He's done a hell of a job. I'm worried about our size up front. That's why I tweeted last night about Mr. Maroon sitting. I said the local kid, but that's who I was referring to. You need someone to beat some size on this team, because if you look even at Vegas, if you look at Washington, Wilson's sitting there. They had Reeves sitting in. There's a place still for that guy that can run around and be a physical. Not just fighting, but just be a physical body contact guy going after that what Wilson did, which was enormous when in the Vegas series when he ran the one kid, their top scorer. So you still need that, and I don't know if we got that. I know the game's changed a lot, but I still think there's room for a little bit of size on this team.
Yeah, no, look, you're not wrong, okay? And we'll get to Patty Maroon in a couple minutes because I think that that's something we can address. Now, to go right back over the trade and kind of summarize the way I feel about exactly what you just talked about. The first and second rounders are hit or miss, right? Yeah. Like, you don't know. Kimby, you and I know a ton of guys that were first rounders, second rounders, that never played a game in the National Hockey League, never came to fruition, or were up and down guys, went over to Europe at like 23, and it was a great, you know, hey, we tried, and it just didn't work out. So you never know what you're going to get.
Correct.
So that to me was, and Doug Armstrong himself last week in our interview with Doug was, he said, until you attach a name to that, you're not married to that guy. You don't have a relationship. You don't have a working relationship. So it is just a number. So you kind of put those draft picks aside. You analyze the Tage Thompson thing.
That's the one, yeah. I forgot about him.
Look, he's going to be a great hockey player, but you have to assume that between Thomas and Kyrou, that one of those players, if not both, might be as good, if not better, and Robert Thomas right now is being touted to be better. We don't know; it's an unknown.
But totally different hockey players, though.
I understand.
Totally different.
But still, Tage Thompson wasn't a physical guy, right? So they're not totally different here, Kimby.
Yeah, but I wanted and where you're going.
He's big and tall, but he didn't do anything physical.
But
so.
you knew his dad, and I knew his dad. So
he's not that guy.
No, but if he has a little burn in his belly like his dad, because he's got more talent than his old man. But,
well, I hope so.
Yeah, but so that was the only thing though on that one. Really, you took a big kid,
I know
you got to give something up to get something.
But my point is Thomas and Kyrou, if they can't put up the same numbers, and I'm not dogging on Tage Thompson because I liked him. He's a first round. He wasn't electrifying last year. Now the arguments are going to come in. He didn't get the ice time, didn't get the line mates, yada, yada, yada. That's not my point. My point is Thomas and Kyrou, two, in my opinion, can give you what he was going to give you. So that's why you're able to part with a Tage Thompson.
Yep.
Then you go to Patrick Berglund. Actually, I'll go to him last. We'll go to Vladimir Sobotka. And I don't disagree with you at all. I thought this guy came back at the end of his last contract, came back from Russia. He came back, played with a little bit of fire. You know, nothing even close to what he had before. And then last year, he was a dud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I hate to say that because, you know, I don't like the dog on players, and it's a tough game, and, you know, all these guys, they do what they can. But, however, he was a guy that when he left, he was a spark plug. He did block the shots. He was an energy guy. We didn't get that. We got a guy who thought he could toe drag and do all that kind of stuff.
But real quick on him. So a guy in Buffalo, the guy I did a thing with Wolf on, you see him. I did. Uh-huh. He's from Buffalo, but he follows him. And then the first thing he texted me last night, and he says, "Is Sobotka just cashing a check here?" And my response to him was, "I think he is. I don't think he's got the." But that was coming from a guy that's in Buffalo already, right. So that rumor's around the league.
Well, here's what I think. I don't think that Jason Botterill. I don't think he necessarily went out and said, "I want Sobotka," right?
Yeah.
So I think he was part of the deal, and he's only got 2 years left on his deal.
But if you're gonna, and the realistic level, and I know you're gonna go there in a second here, but. If the Blues
fucking
are gonna,
Kimby keeps interrupting me.
Yeah,
here.
He's got a lot to say.
I'm picking Blues, up speed and I'm going to blow a goddamn hamstring here.
If the Blues are going to eat the 7.5 signing bonus.
That's what it was.
So he's going to have to come back and do a little favor here.
He's trying to do my job for me.
I don't even need papers coming off.
I'm not even there yet.
Hey,
I haven't even got past Sobotka, and I'm getting healthy
that's
scratch.
That's part of the reason, though.
And I'm the guy who invited you this morning.
That's part of the reason, though.
He big balls and cockeyes into
oh
the studio.
My God.
Hey, he's down 20, 30 pounds. Hey, he's got a pen and paper.
He doesn't know how to use them.
I'm not. No,
he's doing math over there. The guy's doing math.
I'm going back. No, give me a minute.
But why? That's why, though.
Give
I just
me
said
a minute.
It. That's why they took Sobotka. I just gave you my reason.
So, that's okay. Your reason. When just can I get to mine?
It went off my tongue.
Can you imagine his wife arguing with him? This is how it goes, huh?
I don't know. I see him in public. I don't think they talk.
Where's Brian? Turn his mic off. Jesus.
Oh, boy.
So the Sobotka deal, again, to me, is a bit of a throw-in to go, you know, now I feel stupid because, you know, Kimby's like...
Well, Kimby told you what the deal was.
Stole my thunder, right?
Well, you're getting long-winded for crazy.
That
drama's been out already. Just tell the story.
I didn't know you had that in. You can tell he's working out because his cardio's way up.
600-page book and it's only a 10-book story for crazy. Let's get going.
See how he's sitting up in his seat?
I thought he was reciting the Ten Commandments to me over here.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, the Sobotka thing is a throw-in. Obviously, we've got to get to that number that we're paying, that $7.5 million signing bonus. But I think, in all honesty now, the term of Berglund and his dollars match up with Sobotka and Tage Thompson, the Blues get ahead on the salary cap. I think it's like $500,000. I'm not going to be quoted on that, but I think it is. But to me, honestly, the biggest loss in this trade for the Blues, you could say Tage Thompson and all that, but as right now roster player, is Patrick Berglund. And the reason I say that is he's put up pretty good numbers last couple of years. I know he's not the player that his contract dictates he should be. However, between him and Sobotka, if you had to pick one player right now that you had to put in your lineup for one game, which guy would you pick?
I'll go with you there.
Well, there you go. That's all I'm saying right now.
Yeah, but the guy, okay, so that's your guy. My guy, and time will tell what happens with him, is the kid.
Well, yeah, but I'm
that's
saying
who
let's
think.
Take him out of it because the youth always wins.
So Sobotka is expendable. Thompson, sort of, he was up and down, so you really don't know what you get out of him, first of all. So it, really, the trade comes down to, you know, you got all the first round or the second round or the $7.5 million, whatever. The trade comes down to Berglund going there, O'Reilly coming here with a different attitude because
they
score 20 goals each every year.
And I'm going to steal your thunder a little bit.
You see that?
Okay, O'Reilly's had four out of his last 5 years. He's scored 20 plus goals, mm-hmm. and I think it's 5 years straight. He's had 50 plus points.
Yeah.
So
But what's Berglund's come through, though? He's put up numbers.
Well, not that many years consistently.
Close to 20, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been right. He's been over the 20-goal mark and just slightly under the 20-goal mark. So, but the difference is this, okay, is O'Reilly, I forget where the hell the numbers are on that. I saw it on the internet, but he's like number one in like faceoffs taken, number one in like penalty kill faceoffs. Yeah. This guy's a machine when it comes to faceoffs, and he plays 90-some percent of faceoffs in the defensive zone he took.
Yep.
So it's that's the kind of guy you want to rely on. And your power play, how do you generate right away? You get puck possession immediately, win the faceoff.
For sure.
Penalty kill, how do you kill? You get puck possession right away, you win the faceoff.
I think he's great.
He's great down low. He's fast. So he's faster than Berglund, which means the team speed.
Faster than Berglund, for Christ's sake.
He is working out.
I just tried that the other day at East Alton, and I was going, boy.
Is that why the boards got wrecked? You couldn't stop, could you?
They had a little image on there.
Is that why they're closed?
That's why they're closed.
They had one of those images of Berglund and me, and I was going, and I was ahead of him by just an inch.
Kimby was down to the concrete with his strides and through the boards when he finished.
I got to be honest. I walked
Poor Larry Thatcher's got to fix everything over there now.
You walk in, when you walk in here, you know, the light's coming through the thing, and the door was shut, and I'm like, who's this guy waiting outside the door for us? And
well, you can tell right away when it's
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You can tell right away when his head was blocking out the sun. I thought there was another eclipse. I forgot my glasses.
Well, you know.
That's terrible. I'm so nice to him.
He cut me off, took all my material.
I mean,
what a guy.
You left Jamie speechless.
When you go over to pick up a girl and he uses all your lines.
He's got three pages of notes and he had to throw them away.
It's unbelievable. All I had was her salaries, her term, and Kimby comes and kicks me right in the nuts.
I wanted to learn one thing from you today. Here's what I want to learn from you today.
Wait a minute. Keep it clean. It's a family show.
I couldn't answer the question yesterday, so I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
So 2 + 2.
When a guy, no, that's, I learned
he's
that
he's got
one.
His math all going on.
So when a guy signs a $20 million contract, and say $15 million of it are a signing bonus.
Yeah.
When does a signing bonus go on to your salary cap? Is it the first year, or can they divide that out?
Usually, what they do is they take that signing bonus and they spread it out throughout the length of the contract. They're allowed to do it. He can get it, bam, right away in one shot. But most players don't do that because of tax reasons and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and because they'd like to space out the money a little bit for the length of the contract. And so when you get these guys like Ryan O'Reilly's like $7 million every year in signing bonus, or 7.5.
His cap hits 7.5. Yeah.
And he gets paid $1 million on salary.
Yeah.
What that is, it's the new way for the CBA, the way it works, it's a new way for agents and players to get around a lockout, okay? Because we learned a lot the last lockout. Guys had these nice big 10, 15-year contracts. Well, they lost a year of salary, no matter how you slice it, because they're on salary, and when there's a lockout, you lose your salary. So now the built-in, the insulator for these contracts is the big signing bonus. And Tavares just did the same thing in Toronto.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't even make over $1 million a year in salary. Everything's signing bonus. And it is a genius way to do it, because every July 1st, or sometimes it depends how it gets negotiated, but it could be July 1st or the first day of training camp, they call it a roster bonus, right?
Yep.
So you show up and literally, bam, like he gets $7.5 million yesterday, Ryan O'Reilly.
So does the $7.5 million, that's what your salary cap number is for this year?
It's that every year.
Saying?
What happens is it averages out. So what they do is they take the $7.5 million plus the $1 million, and it's like $8.5 million. But then the way his contract works its way down, I think.
Haven't even talked about that as far as that being a benefit to the Blues, even though his salary cap hit is $7.5 million.
Well, there's really no benefit.
Yeah, he's going – yeah, but what they'll pay him the next few years is less.
No, because they're still paying him the signing bonus. So
yeah, but the signing bonus goes down.
Well, no, it doesn't, actually.
Yeah, he goes to $6 million. Yeah, he does. His last few years is only $6
million. Well, I'm looking at it right now. And
right here.
Oh, yeah, his signing bonus. You're right. He goes to $5 million a year. So, yeah, they gain real dollars on this as far as
which
like,
is for our franchise, right, Jamie?
It is. It's big. So, now, the salary cap hit stays the same, 7.5 across the board.
So we'll go back to that $15 million guy signs for $15 million sign bonus. Do they have to dictate right then, the club? Do they have to dictate, we're going to use $5 million this year, $4 million? Is that in the contract?
They negotiated with the agent right there.
So that's all.
$15 million is your signing bonus, and let's say you have a five-year deal. Yeah. They'll usually try to space it out and say $3 million a year, but then the player might say, look, in year two, we run the risk of a lockout.
Yeah.
So instead of me making $6 million in salary, I'd like $5 million in signing bonus that year and $1 million salary.
Don't you remember when you signed on here the case of Busch Light? I could have gave – I remember how you wanted the whole case.
Why is he got to go to Busch Light now?
See how the case, you wanted it up front. You didn't want a can every time you came.
I wanted a bottle of Jack Daniels. You wouldn't give it to me.
Oh, my
goodness. Well, hey, I tell you what, you've earned your Jack Daniels today. I'll tell you that. I haven't seen him speechless since I met the guy.
Speechless?
I mean, throwing his papers in here, you got him flustered.
No, I'm not speechless.
Well,
he cut me at the knees, son of a bitch.
So from a fan standpoint, Jamie, and I think the reason guys were excited to hear from you, obviously when they found out, especially Darren was going to be here today, you know, we got the tweets, and he did, you know, walk in here like the peacock because he was ready for it. But the reality of it is, it's an emotional roller coaster for fans, right? So if you go through it, and again, I know you watch it, and Darren, you like to have a little fun with it as well. So from the fans' point of view, I think as you sit there yesterday, you got worried right away because you're sitting there going, of all the things that we needed, now, while you may like David Perron, not like David Perron, doesn't really matter, but almost to like what Darren said, you're sitting there going, again, even if I liked him, that's the last thing we really needed, to be completely honest.
There was a point yesterday, Cromes, when I was sitting, I was working with my buddy, and I looked over when Perron had signed and that, and then Bozak, and I was just watching what's going on. I was going through the day. I said, you know what I'm going to do since I played for four different teams? I said, I'm going to go out and get myself a Bruins hat. And I said, piss on this other shit because I'm not going to sit here and run down this road. And then when he makes this trade, and just to see what's going to – it just made the club a better club just by getting rid of a couple guys and bringing this kid in. So you're a better club. So at least – because I hate to sit around and people are at different spots where you got to talk a little differently about things. But if I'm going to talk about the Blues, as long as they're trying –
right.
Then I can stand behind you. And that's how St. Louis has always been. As long as you guys are showing you're trying. And at the start of the day yesterday, it didn't look like they were trying at all. And now there was a process.
Looked like they were settling. As a fan, I felt like they were settling.
But what people have to realize is, one, in a trade, it takes two to tango, right? And when you're signing guys, same thing can be said. It takes two to tango. So we learned quickly that John Tavares had no desire to come to St. Louis. So now what? Right. So if you call, it's just like any. I will use the girlfriend analogy. Right. You call a girl, but she doesn't want to go out with you. Doesn't like. What do you do now? Right. So you're not guaranteed that date. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with the Blues is, you call a guy's agent. It doesn't mean they want to sign with you. Doesn't matter what you offer if they don't have you in mind. Like, so Doug Armstrong was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because he was making the phone calls. He's doing his due diligence, and I'm sure it's not just him. It's Al and Marty and everybody involved. They're scattered around. And if they're getting, hey, we're not interested, what now? Right? So it doesn't mean he's not trying. But it doesn't mean they've given up.
But you know what? You know what really – the thing that's pissed me off about this whole thing, where I was going through this whole process is – and I responded to it on Twitter, but – St. Louis is getting a bad rap here for some reason, and people are announcing the players don't want to. This town's fucking awesome.
This town is amazing,
you know. And then the support that you get, and it's a small core group that's always been there, but they're always there for you. And when I hear it come out and it gets into the media that people don't want to come to St. Louis for this or that, and I'm going, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, like, what's this crazy about awesome. That is we've had Brett Hull, we've had Brendan Shanahan, we've had Wayne Gretzky, we've Al MacInnis, Chris Pronger. So some of the greatest players to ever play the game. Grant Fuhr, let's get fucking throwing names out there, right?
Yeah, because you can go on and on.
And they've been
Jamie Rivers.
They've been St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
And guess what? Gretzky still has a place here. Hully's living here.
Yep.
Grant Fuhr comes back all
Pronger's
the time.
Around here.
Pronger's still here. Tony Twist is still here. Yeah. Kelly Chase, Darren Kimball. Like, you go on and on and on. There's like 40 or 50 guys that still live in St. Louis. So bullshit on it's not a place where you'd like to play. I think what happens is because it's viewed not as a cap small roster or small market, it's viewed as like a smaller market where maybe you can't get endorsements, maybe you can't get this, maybe you're not getting the games on NBC as much as Chicago or LA or some of these things. But you're right. It is insulting to hear that people are looking at St. Louis as like, they don't want to go there. Like, it's not a really great destination. Once they're here, guess what? They fall in love. I'm still here. I have no reason to be here. I'm from Ottawa, Canada. Yeah. I'm not quite Lucky Lake, but still.
And I'll tell you, when you come from Canada, and you know you're in a smaller environment. You're not in like the New York cities, the big all combustion going on. St. Louis fits that brand from when you come from Canada, because it's not really high tempo going on. They're laid back people. They get it and you roll with it. And people aren't really. It's like a Canadian little atmosphere around.
You know, you're right, because I played junior in Sudbury, Ontario, which people are going to say, where? Yeah, you know, get a Google map out and take a look at it. It's way up there, just below the Arctic Circle. Now,
Stompin' Tom.
Stompin' Tom, baby. But my point is, and you can speak to this too, because you played, you know, WHL, small town Canada. Yep. It's amazing how those communities, like, they're hockey people, right? Well, guess what? St. Louis is no different, man. Like, you have your baseball people, you have your thing, you have people who don't even know what the Blues are, but the people who are the hockey fans, they're hockey people. And to this day, yeah, the reason that I'm still able to exist in St. Louis and have a job and do all these things, it doesn't matter what I did in my career, this, that, the other, or who I am or how good I am at something. It's because the city of St. Louis has wrapped its arms around me and said, we remember you. You're a hockey guy. We're a hockey town, and we want you here. Yep. And that's just me. And I could, you know, that's probably the same for 40 or 50 guys who still live here.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, though, I think adds to what happened to Blues fan yesterday. And so Tavares starts it, right? Okay, and let's face it, Cardinal fans, Blues fans, they...
Well, the Cardinals have had a tough go here, too, with free agents, and I don't understand that for the life
of
me.
So then you add in... So then the Blues fans, right? Like, they feel like you guys are describing, and then all of a sudden Tavares won't even... I mean, here's a team going, hey, we got money, we want to talk to you, we're willing to... And the guy didn't even want to talk to you. So that's number one. Then the story comes out that Panarin and Tarasenko are good buddies, and he doesn't want to... So maybe there's a fit there. And then the guy's not even, like, in discussion, and he don't even want it to come here. Don't trade for me because I'm not signing extension. So now Blues fans are feeling beat down. So then, fast forward, or rewind today, fast forward that day, to yesterday morning... And you're sitting there going, what is Doug Armstrong taxed with here? He's taxed with free agents. You know, so now in your mind, you're going, free agents don't want to come here. Well, do you want to trade for a guy at the end of his contract if he doesn't want to sign here? And then you sign Perron, and you're sitting here going, now we're getting desperate. That's what it felt like. Now, as from a fan's point of view, I know that Bozak wasn't sexy, a sexy name.
Oh, he's sexy.
But I know him to be a good player. Like, if you ask me, would I rather have him than Berglund? Yes, I would. I think he's a better version of Patrick Berglund. That's my opinion, okay? And I'm sitting there going, I guess if this is it, this is a good way to add to the roster and also allow the young guys to play at the same time. And then when they did the O'Reilly thing, to me it became obvious. I'm sitting there looking at that at the
beginning. Watch this, though. The landscape is going to change slightly because what players do nowadays is they're looking at the rosters that they're being traded to or signed to. It's no longer – and you know, to get away from how great the city of St. Louis is for a hockey town and all that, to get away from that, players look at the, you know, the immediate in the present, right? And the Blues missed the playoffs last year. And it didn't, based upon the Perron signing and the Bozak, it didn't look like maybe they were going to be able to pull themselves out of that funk. And players want to go to somewhere they can win or at least be competitive because there's so much parity in the league now that, like, you got to go to a winner or you could be buried, right?
Sure.
So I think now when, like, Panarin, he may have a different opinion now.
Sure.
Some of these guys may have a different opinion because they're looking and going, well, they got Perron, okay. They got Bozak and they got O'Reilly. They've got a solid D core. They've got young players. They might look now, if free agency hit tomorrow, those guys might be in a little bit of a different opinion.
When I was telling the guy I was working with here, I was saying, you know, with this going on, this is before the O'Reilly thing, I said, this could be a good thing because I said the Blues have the potential to do the old Montreal Canadian thing here right now because they got their own farm club. They got all these young kids. They when they go down to the minors now, they're not sitting fighting for the third line or second line. Maybe now they're coming in. They're going to have to play the first line because it's their own system. So the Blues are in the right direction right now. They've taken a huge step here. They didn't get rid of their like the Kyrou and the Tom. So none of them went out the door.
Or Parayko, he was mentioned.
Yeah, Parayko was mentioned too, and that still could be. You never know what the hell's going to go on yet, but. You still have your young guys. And O'Reilly, he's still young. He's not old.
Shoot, he's only 27.
Bozak's not old. You know, you bring Perron back, that's a different animal. But you're still in a good spot. So you still don't have to bring all these young kids up this year. You can still sit there and say, even if Thomas was the only one, just say, I'm going to use his name. It could be any one of them. But say Thomas was the one up here. You still got four or five guys that are going to run down to San Antonio next year and are going to be the lead, the top two lines of that team. So they're going to get enormous value out of that themselves.
And we've heard you guys say numerous times, next year in San Antonio for those guys is going to be a lot different than what
for
they experienced.
Sure,
this
it's sure it is. Going to be night and day. I mean, unfortunately, the Blues were handcuffed with a situation where they didn't have their own minor league team last year. And in this day and age, like 10 years ago, it may not have made a difference because, you know, you did what you wanted. There's no salary cap. You were trading for players. The Detroit Red Wings very seldom used their minor league system back in the 90s. It was all free agents and older players. But nowadays, like, it's so important to farm your players, literally, from the time they're drafted until the moment they step onto the ice in a regular season game. Like, your fingerprints as an organization have to be all over that guy's progression. And so
so they went through this process. So you get rid of Sobotka, you get rid of Berge, but they were the whipping boys in town. So, you know, and a lot of people jumped on their ass. And some rightfully so. Some they got shit for even when they're playing good. You know, they still got jumped on a little bit. But you've taken that out of the process. You brought guys in now, O'Reilly and Bozak. You brought them in, so they got a clean slate they're running with. You know, so all you have a much better attitude, I think, coming towards this from just the city standpoint. The media really has the only guy they can jump on right now is possibly maybe Jake. See what the hell he's going to come up with when he gets going. But this even gives – this has – you know, with Hutton gone now, and that's a big loss for the Blues, I think.
I think it is.
But he earned his way out of here because, you know, he played well and
– still only had a handful of starts.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm just going – but I'm going to go to the point where if he come back, if Jake and him are still fighting for this next year, I think Jake fights – I think he struggles with that again. I think now they – again, they went to the thing and they said, here, here's your team, Jake. Do you want this damn thing or not?
So it's
sort of – Army wasn't lying. He wasn't lying when he said this will be Jake Allen's team. Yeah. He's either going to figure it out or he won't.
Well, I was going to say, I of all the things that were done, the least impressive, and again, they know a lot more than we do, and Jamie, I would say you know more than the average bear and Darren, but the reality of it is that was unimpressive on paper. But
it's a great move, though.
But it does say you're the guy.
But you know why it's a great move? Because you got Chad Johnson, who's going to come in, who can handle 25 to 30 starts if need be. He's proven he can, okay? So let's say he doesn't get 25 to 30 starts. Let's say you mix in Husso. Let's say you carry three goalies for a while on your roster. You get your young guy. You know, you have all these possibilities now that you can work with. And if Jake isn't the guy, I don't think they're going to sit here and wait forever for him to become the guy. I think now, with Husso knocking at the door the way he is, I like the setup. And I think Jake's going to be just fine. Yeah. I think Jake's a 40 to 45 start goalie. If that's the case, Johnson and Husso, between the two of them, can handle the other starts. So I'm really not concerned about that. The back end is shored up pretty damn good. Edmondson has to get under contract, which they will get him under contract very soon. He's worth it. He's worth every penny that he's going to look for. And then after that, when you go up front, you have Robbie Fabry. That's a wild card, right? So you're looking at Robbie Fabry going, okay, we're going to spend $1 million on him just to retain his rights, first of all. But what if he puts up 20, 25 goals?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at your roster. And, you know, O'Reilly yesterday, a perfect thing for me was on the phone with Doug Armstrong on Twitter, you know, and he's like trying to talk. And it's kind of cut off here and there, and you can kind of sort of hear him. But the one thing that he says that I liked was, I won't let you down.
Yeah.
And the reason I like that is because at the end of last season, he took some heat in Buffalo because he said he'd lost his love of the game because the culture wasn't good and he was losing and it sucked and he hated going to the rink. Well, you've been there, and sometimes it does suck to go to the rink. But, man, when you get that brand-new lifeline, the energy that's friggin' pumped into your body mentally and physically is incredible. So you're going to get this player who's been a top guy. Now he's coming to camp motivated.
And the big thing, I still think the big thing is, Ribs, the whole thing, you got rid of a couple old guys that were sitting there, the whipping boys. You have new blood here. I think, and that's you. The St. Louis base is a fraction of what St. Louis is. You got your regular base that's always been there, your loyal people. At least they can get excited about something because you're not going to have to go all young now. You're not going to have to send them all down.
No, now you can actually do it properly.
Yeah, you can do it properly. So you're not forced into something. So you've got rid of some. The Blues fans, I think, have to be happy with what went on. There's still hope there that they can still chase this thing. It's not a dead animal you're trying to fight here, or you're not going to go young and wait for 5 years. There's still options on the table.
Now, the one thing that I do wish they would add, and I don't know how they're going to do it, because mathematically I sat there last night and trying to figure it out with the Edmondson contract with Fabry. They've got Sanford, I believe, and Yashkin, which we're not even going to get into those guys, but they're up for contract, okay? Is Pat Maroon. Okay, I love everything that they've got right now. And they've got Chris Thorburn, who's a hell of a guy, a great leader, a great locker room guy, but he's not going to give you 15 to 20 goals a year. No. Patty Maroon can. Now, is Patty Maroon being so sought after that the Blues offer just can't compete? I don't know. But, man, can you imagine adding that guy to your third line?
Yep.
And your third line looks like Bozak, Maroon, and even Perron. Or mm-hmm. Bozak, Maroon, and Thomas. Like, holy crap, right? Now you've got your net front presence on the power play.
Yep.
You've got your toughness, because look at what happened when that one guy, I forget his damn name now, that's how irrelevant he is, but he hurt McDavid. And then the next year, Maroon comes in and beats the bag out of the kid from Philly, whatever the hell that kid's name was. What I'm saying is you have that element where Patty Maroon, I don't want to say he's a poor man's version of Milan Lucic, but they're very similar, right? I'll say poor man because his contract doesn't match up to Lucic's. But, you know, Patty Maroon is a big, physical, great hands, can score goals, great guy, local guy.
Local guy.
It would be amazing to make that work. Now, the flip side of that is it doesn't necessarily mean the Blues are able to compete with other offers. It doesn't mean he's not getting better offers somewhere else.
Yep.
He may not want to come back to his hometown. I don't know. I have no idea. He may want to big time, and he may take less money to do it. But right now, because of the Perron deal, because of the Bozak deal, because of the O'Reilly deal, and Edmondson, the question mark, and Fabry, the question mark, does he financially, is he able to fit in the mix? I don't know. I would love to get him, but I don't know if they can make it happen.
See, I think Blues fans assume, well, why wouldn't he want to play here? He's from here. I don't know that that's always necessarily the case.
Well, you don't know, right? Yeah. And it's just like, Patty Maroon's no different than John Tavares and Steven Stamkos and all that when they talked about going back to their hometown and the pressure. I played in my hometown in Ottawa. There was a lot of pressure because you go from a handful of people that you really know in the crowd to a couple of hundred every single game, if not more, that are there that know you, that have had contact with you, that grew up with you, that are watching. And it's a different animal. But some people love it. Some people don't.
You go to the – so what do they got, about 8.5 on the salary cap left? So 8.5, and you got to figure Edmondson's taking at least 5 of that.
He's got to get at least –
he's not going to get –
oh, my God, absolutely. Jim, are you out of your mind?
You might get 6.
What, 1 year?
Okay, listen, wait a minute. Where's he at in the process here?
Okay, here's the thing.
I was going to say, let's talk about Edmondson, where he's at in the contract.
He's at the point in his contract where they need to lock him up long term.
Oh, okay.
They have to.
I thought they were still under a 2-year.
There's no way he doesn't get the same money as Parayko.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way he doesn't. Yeah, he played alongside Petro there for I don't even know how long. He's a top four defenseman easily, top three maybe, and his point production last year alone, whether it was something that was crazy, a miracle, whatever, the goals and points he put up last year put him into a new category that means he's got to be $4 or $5 million a year.
At least.
Got to be. Yeah.
Well, the reason I said that was, okay, so if he's a restricted, somebody could offer him, right?
They could throw an offer sheet.
They could throw an offer sheet.
Yeah.
It's rare.
Okay, but
very
they could.
Rare, but
so
they could.
You just get a chance to match it, that's all.
So hypothetically, if the Blues offered him a 1-year deal,
He wouldn't take it. No way. Why would he take that?
I wouldn't.
Okay, well, what's he going to do?
He's assuming all the risk.
Really? Okay.
He's assuming all the risk then.
Okay.
What if he goes out in the first week and blows out his knee? Knock on wood. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But then he's got no guarantee. And this is his time. This is his third contract, I think. This is his time to nail one down.
But a perfect thing is, look at Perron just did. So, you know, he just gets four for four. And he was at the end of his contract. So Edmondson's just had one of a pretty good year. You know, you're not going to.
Well, for him, it's been a career year so far.
Career year. So you take advantage of that. That's how anything works, Gromes. If that big year's there and it's your time, you better get paid. Because like he says, you don't know. He could go to training camp and break a leg and then he's done for a year. I'm just saying, you don't know what the hell.
Now, under the current collective bargaining agreement, the Blues don't have to offer him more than a year. To retain his rights, all they have to do is have a qualifying offer that either is a 10% raise or matches league average on salary. Not league minimum, league average. So whatever that league average is, you know, whatever, 1.8 maybe, somewhere in there. Well, no shit, he's worth that.
See, I was thinking in this scenario as a restricted free agent, I was anticipating he'd get like a 2-year deal where he made $2.5 million.
No, that's a bridge contract, which he would have gotten his last deal.
Okay. You might as well lock him up for about 5 or 6.
You want to lock him up, and especially when you build from the net out.
Yeah.
You've got a kid who is tough, who moves the puck well, proves he can play top 2 minutes.
He's top forward.
He can play top 2 minutes.
He's a top forward defenseman.
Yeah.
So they would have done that. Okay, because that's how I was looking at this going, okay, so they give him a 2-year, and then they deal with him 2 years from now and get him locked up long-term. And I'm thinking by then, Gunny's gone, Bomeister's gone.
But also, you put these guys that are you're going to be your future, you get them on the books, and then you know what you're dealing with all the time. So now you don't have to touch that when these,
well,
when these young kids are coming to – these young kids
okay,
are
but now
paid
if you're doing this,
years.
Though, I'm going, there's no way you can sign – well, number one, even if you sign him like this –
they can get rid of some people here.
Well, they can still shed some salary somewhere. Yeah. They can try to move a player. I believe they can still buy out somebody if they really wanted to. Now that's more money, like cash, out the owner's pockets, but they can make it work. The reason you want to lock in a guy like Edmondson, just like you do for a lot of these guys, is his value may go up still.
Sure.
Right? So if you lock him in for 4 or 5 years at, let's say, $4 million a year. So let's say it's a $20 million contract.
For 5 years.
For 5 years, okay? What if the price around the league goes up, revenues go up, the salary cap goes up? Now he has another 2 great years, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Now he's an $8, $9 million defenseman all of a sudden. Now what?
Well, okay,
like,
so...
That's where there's a good and the bad of locking guys
okay,
in.
Okay, so the reality in the scenario that you have now presented, because like I said, I think, I don't know about it, but I'm sitting here doing the math, and again, I'm not like a math scholar, but even if you do this now, there's not enough money there to add Pat Maroon, unless they do something with more players, they can do that.
Well,
but my point is, I'm not even talking about Pat Maroon now. Like, I'm sitting here looking at this now going, I mean, and maybe you know the answer to this, Jamie. I mean, do you need Sundquist and Yaskin?
I don't.
The thing is, in the hockey world, as you get older in the hockey world, you become more expendable in this business. So the Blues got one guy that's sitting up there in the forwards that's been around a long time. And I'm just saying, it's sure. obvious. If I'm going in this direction, maybe that's the expendable guy that I got to try to find a way to get out. Or I also got a guy sitting down here that – he's not playing a hell of a lot of hockey. He's getting hurt quite a bit. I got that kid sitting there. So I'm trying to – the owner's got to find a way to shed some of this money. And I'm not trying to be negative on anything. I'm just saying that's reality. So you got to find out where your team is headed. And he's made these moves. So now if he wants to go get a Patty Maroon, because after he's going to have to sign Edmondson, I got to find a way to do that because it's going to make his team better. So that's his job.
You got to make sure if you're doing that – like I know where Kimby's headed with this. You have to make sure that – if you're making that kind of a bold move, that you're guaranteed to get return on investment, meaning that you know Patty Maroon's going to put up the same amount of points and this and that and the other. The problem now that lies in front of the Blues is you can't just walk away now. Okay, Chromes? So what you asked me about, well, do we need Sundquist? Do we need, it's too late. They were given qualifying offers, right? So now all they have to do, if they feel like the Blues want to walk on him now, all they got to say is, okay, we'll take the deal and sign it.
What is that amount? Do you know what it is?
Well, it's the same thing as I just said. It's a 10% raise or league minimum to match it. Now, Sundquist is different, I think, because I believe he was on a two-way last year still. He was still working his way through, I believe. I don't know. But he's not in the same boat. I think they can offer him a two-way deal. Yashkin was on a one-way deal.
Yep.
So Yashkin's either league average or 10% raise. So they've already qualified these guys, which means they can't walk on them.
Yep.
And that's the difficult part is you're probably married to a million plus on Yashkin just because. So you're probably married to a million plus on Fabry. And so you're probably 3 million deep between those two players. And then you're adding 4 to 5 with Edmondson. It leaves you nothing for Patty Maroon.
Yeah. But you go to Yaskin here. And
I agree.
Someone in that organization, whether it's Army or I don't know who it is in his corner. Because that guy's just, he keeps on, he's going to keep on.
I think
on.
They still view him as an asset, yeah. right? Like, here's the thing is, you know, you and I went back and forth for I don't even know how long now about about Patrick Berglund. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Blues still viewed Patrick Berglund as an asset. And he, for all intents and purposes, take the term of his contracts that he's had out, he's been an asset. And now he's a real asset because you got Ryan O'Reilly in return for him, right?
Yeah, correct.
I just don't think you're going to get that for Yashkin now.
Yeah.
Like at this point, like Jim just said, can we walk away from these guys? It's a tough call, mm-hmm. right? Because you still have to fill out a roster. You still have to have a team.
And
one guy making that money is not going to make the difference right now.
And I would be – I'll just state this. If there's a Yashkin and a Sung, if they're sitting there, I would prefer them to be sitting up here playing fourth line as I would be for Thomas or Kyrou be sitting there playing fourth line. I would like them to get their experience down in the minors so they're better the next year. Whoever – I'm not saying they both could be here, but I'll even go to them the next flow that's coming, Costin or whoever it may be. They need to play. And they're not going to do anything by sitting on the fourth lineup. So if you're going to take a kid or take somebody, I'd rather them doing that, sitting that fourth line, as opposed to them guys down there.
Well, and then what I would do if I'm the Blues is every time I get an injury, if I do, to my top six forwards, I'm calling up Costin. Sure. I'm calling up Kyrou. And I'm putting him in the lineup in those spots.
Yeah.
And the third or fourth liners that I've put in on my team or on my roster, they're staying in that spot. There's no such thing as you're going to work your way up the roster. No, the young kids are going to get the filet mignon, and you're getting the strip steak down here.
Will Yo do that, though?
He has to.
Okay.
You got Riley and you got these guys coming in, I don't care. You're still future of the St. Louis Blues are with these four young kids, or maybe three now, but the new draft, you can
go
with the fourth
because
guy.
You look at it,
but
though,
that's your core.
O'Reilly, like we talked about, he's only 27 years old.
But I'm still saying.
So 4 years from now, let's say, he's still only 31.
Thomas, Kyrou, and the Costin, which I still think there's something going on there. But that kid there, I still think the Blues, they're going to bed with these guys. This is who they're taking home, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And rightfully so. I'm okay with that.
That's three pretty good players.
Yeah,
I'm okay
with that.
Before we go, the one thing that I know fans want to hear, because this was the number one thing last night, so basically
number one.
This is the number one thing I saw on Twitter. Okay.
Wow.
Number one thing I saw.
Number
and
one.
I know people want to no, that's right.
Not the Vince McMahon walk either.
Well, no, that was not okay. This was 1A.
Okay.
1A.
Did you think to see the thing with I put your, out about Army? That was priceless, wasn't it?
No, I didn't see
you
it.
Had, you remember the Dumb and Dumber thing there?
Oh, and totally redeem yourself.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. You didn't think about that on your own.
Yes, I did.
You stole that from somewhere.
this guy's like walking tall, isn't he? Told you he's peacocking around
Jesus,
here.
Jesus, hey, careful.
So, hey, so the number one thing was this. I think, like, when you see the deal, I think the general feeling right away was, boy, we gave up a lot. Is this guy that good? So I think people, let's face it, he was in Buffalo, right? He was, you know, when you think Buffalo, what do you,
gave you all his
what
stats.
Do you think? I know, but I think people want to know what, let's face it, you break down players and systems and games. Break down what you think we got here in a player as
Look,
a
I think he
did that.
I think he was asleep earlier.
No, what were you doing? No, I'm talking
were you
about
sniffing
value.
Glue over
no,
there?
He pure
did.
Value.
All what he said about the kid earlier is perfect. And then he went
to say it before Kimby stole it.
He went into detail though about like he's talking about faceoffs. He's
no,
you know that
you're missing my point. Was it worth it? Fully 100% was it worth it, the value.
To reiterate what I said last night on Twitter and what I said earlier today, yes, it was worth it. This guy is going to bring you everything that Berglund did and more. He's more reliable defensively. He plays in every situation. He's an unbelievable face-off guy. He's in tremendous physical condition. He's faster as an upgrade on both Sobotka and Berglund. And this is a guy that's hungry. He's hungry to win. He's hungry to play at a high level. And he really wants to prove everybody wrong that have kind of sewered him a little bit in that Buffalo Sabres area for, you know, not being able to make that team better, even though his stats and all that have been really good.
You and understand this, too. So
does that work?
Yeah. I want to elaborate on it a little bit more.
He wants me to say
O'Reilly,
it one more time, Kim.
No. I'll tell you where I'm going.
O'Reilly's coming here. And I understand this because he's – He's been from Colorado. He's gone to Buffalo, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So he's on his third team right now, you know. And when you – and you, Rivs, you know, me and you played in a bunch of different teams. But when you get fucking moving around a little bit, you start to say to yourself – because it's not only you that's moving around. When you get going here, you got a wife, you got kids. They don't always like to move all the time.
I think he just got married, too.
Had a baby.
But you're getting into a process here now where – they like to call home home. And, you know, I think that's where we went back to earlier, where, like, St. Louis people, you know, the Bozak guy's on there saying about, you know, he's heard it's a good place. People like to get planted. They don't like to move around every time. That's not, you know, that's not what life's about.
You don't want to be gypsies.
No, so he's on, he's sort of got, and that's why when he says that, what he says to Army at the end, you know, I won't disappoint you, but he's probably thinking to himself, okay, I've jumped this hoop here to this part now. I'm on my third team. Sometimes it starts to kick in yourself and say,
you got to be careful too, because then if he gets moved again the next couple of years, people start looking at it and no longer do they say, wow, this guy's a valuable asset. They start wonder why.
Exactly.
You know, so I think it's a great deal.
I think it is too.
Now, what did you want to elaborate
on? Well, the last part of it was this. If you look at the team, and this is where I was going. If you look at the team.
Now he's got a point.
Well, you start looking at, okay, what did we have last year and all this kind of stuff? I think the player that fans are really wanting you to compare him to is Paul Stastny, because essentially that's who he's replacing. And my opinion,
you know what?
I think he's
comparable.
I think he's a little bit better player. Well, that's why I
hang on a second now. Just check yourself here, because at 27 years old, Paul Stastny's stats and his everything that came with him was kind of through the roof here. Okay, let's not forget about that at 27 years old. So we're not comparing apples to apples here. We're comparing a player who was similar in style, however, I believe 4 years older than the guy. So, but what we are getting that is very similar is we're getting a really good faceoff guy. We're getting a really good teammate. We're getting a really good leader.
New blood.
New blood, of course. Yeah. But so those are the similarities that we're getting to a Paul Stastny. Now, I do believe that he's faster. I do believe that obviously he's younger. He's more expensive a little bit, longer term. But, yeah, you know, you're filling your void with a guy that is very, very much like Paul Stastny. I don't think his playmaking ability is that of Paul Stastny, but I do think his speed and what he brings to the game that way and pushing the pace.
A little more size, too, doesn't he?
A little more size, and he likes to use it. He's a little grittier. He goes in front of the net and battles. But, you know, if you're replacing, you know, if you're trying to go apples to apples on this one, I don't think you can based on the age difference. But, yeah, you're getting a guy that is going to slot himself into that first or second line center, probably second because we have Shen. It's a hell of a deal in my books.
But there's still this thing all has to play out because now Army's, you know, and he sort of hints around a guy moving to the wing, one of these guys.
Right. Somebody has to go to the wing.
So he's
probably the younger guys, too, because center's a big responsibility. Yeah.
And they're the, you know, they're your defensive zone. They're the cat's meow.
Absolutely.
They help the defenseman out enormously. But so now Army's done. And I don't think he's done yet. I think something else goes on here yet before the summer's over. I think he's got to get there, depending on what we've already talked about. You know, you got the Patty Maroon sitting there, possibly.
Well, the Edmondson thing, has to be done. Was that draft.
But that Edmondson thing has to come through yet, too. So they'll want to lock him up. So he's got, but it's going to get to the point where then he gets there. And then it sort of has to flip over to who? Mr. Yo. And then now he's got to sit there and put his pieces together with all the brass here. And then now you're hoping once we get to this point, now it's all got to come together. And, you know, then you got to see how it comes out of the
game. But then it's on the players, too.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. You can't just sit there and look at your roster and go, oh, yeah, we're supposed to be good. By the way, you shouldn't play hard against us. This is going to be.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
You didn't want to touch it, Kimby. Do you want to touch? Lines.
That again?
Lord. Lines. Do you even want to touch what you would roll out?
Lines?
Do you want to even touch it?
God.
Not yet.
It's like bingo balls right now, right? Because you don't have a set roster. We don't know where Sundqvist and Yash can line up. We don't know all that stuff. The first line, you know, last year it worked for quite a while. It was Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Shen. Does he go back to that? I don't know. It seemed like they were reluctant to go with that at times last year. I think O'Reilly's your second center. I think that, you know, you're putting him with, in my opinion, I would put O'Reilly, Perron, and Fabry together. Speed, playmaking, some ability. And then I'd go Bozak, Steen, and Thomas on the right wing. I think it takes the pressure off the kid. I think he can, you know, perform. He's got a smart guy in Steen, a hard worker in Bozak. And then your fourth line, you've got Barbashev, Thorburn, /Yashkin, and then I right now it's eluding me who else we've got back there, but I think your fourth line is taken.
You've got Sanford still sitting there.
Sanford,
Soshnikov.
Soshnikov, yeah. So you've got him, and he's a little guy who buzzes around, does a pretty good job. So to me, that's where you start. come training camp, you'll see what chemistry lies within the group, and that may, you know, that may rotate from a week to week base. But now, at least, I think you have the options to mix and match.
Well, and I think from everything you just said, the one thing that stands out here is, you know, there's not a lot of room at the end here. Somebody's out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody's out, but we're going to be three lines deep.
Oh yeah.
And that's something we haven't been in recent years, is three lines deep. We've had a first and second line and a fourth line. Or a first and third line.
We were begging for second liners last year.
Yeah, or injuries. A first and a third line and a fourth line, but no second line. Like, we haven't had that consistency. And I think this way here, my God, never mind even adding Patty Maroon, but just the way it sits, we're four lines deep, but three lines certainly to compete.
Yeah, I like to get a little more size. That's what I would like. But
it's got to be size that's quick, right?
Yeah,
like,
and
you talk
play.
About Wilson, you talk about Revo, even so, those guys were fast.
Yeah.
They made a difference. You can't just pick up size
anymore.
Because it's like dead weight.
But I think there has to be, you know, it just has to be there. I think eventually at the end of the season, you know, you're going to be sitting there looking at Nashville in the eye. They're going to be one of the teams that are going to be hunting down that thing. I don't
Winnipeg.
Know, you know, Winnipeg, look at the size
Vegas.
Of that office. Vegas.
No, you brought up Winnipeg.
L.A. How about L.A. now? Yeah, San Jose?
Winnipeg.
The Western Conference is a son of a bitch.
Yeah, you damn right it is.
Then we come right back full circle, and this club still seems one player short, and it sounds like it's
Patrick. I don't necessarily
going in the right
think
direction.
So. If you
right
compared
direction.
Our roster man
oh,
for
we're
man
better.
With a lot of teams, we're better.
Yeah.
And shit, if you compared our roster to the Vegas Golden Knights man for man from even last year's team, it's a better team on paper.
The biggest thing is, though, you're comparing your team that you got right now to the team that you had at the end of the year at the Blues, and you're better in St. Louis.
You're better.
So we're
sure.
better. We're better right now, and I still think there's maybe it could be one move or whatever, but I still think he can get just to the very – then he's going to be pretty good.
And I still think, and I'll stand by this, that the wild card is Robbie Fabbri.
Mm-hmm.
If he can come back and put up the 20 goals, 15 to 20, like, what a bonus. Because you're getting a guy that's going to be priced like a fourth liner,
mm-hmm.
because he's done nothing, no body of work in the last 2 years to even warrant a pay raise or a long-term deal. So he's getting – this is your chance as the Blues to give him the one-year deal, see what he does. And if he knocks it out of the park, it's fantastic for your hockey club. It's going to suck for the salary cap moving forward because he'll want to be paid. However, you get this 1 year. I call it a free year with him. Hopefully it pays off. Hopefully he comes out guns a-blazing and he's just the way he used to be.
Well, you say hopefully. I'm sure fans are going to respect your opinion much more than even their own. Because of the injuries and the back-to-back years, is it really an unknown, or do you have expectations for Mr.
Well, with the way they can do surgeries now, sometimes guys come back even better. Sometimes. Now, that's a small percentage. The problem is that the injury...
Sometimes they can come back bigger, too.
They can, yes. Depending on where they've trained. If they were at the Golden Corral the whole time. But no, Robbie Fabbri seems to me like right now that he's been committed to the working out. He's been committed. He's been cleared for certainly they said A-OK for training camp, which is huge. You just wonder. It's a tough injury. That ACL is such a vital part for hockey players, their stability, their explosiveness, their balance, all these things. So if he's not 100%, you know, and he's dragging a leg out there, not literally, but, you know, then, yeah, that'll hurt him because Robbie Fabry's game was that energy, that speed, that explosiveness, that breakaway, that quickness. If he doesn't have that, then you have a small player that isn't fast, and that's not a good combination. So, that's why I use hopefully. Because who knows?
The injury bug is going to – Schwartz, he's sitting there, you know, can he stay healthy? You know, you got a lot of shit going on. But you're better.
You're deeper. You're deeper now.
You are.
So,
and you still got a good you got a top four defense that can take you – as long as your defense is and if Jake can play the way he is, you're good. You're good.
You know, I ask you guys before we go, last thing.
Before we go.
Yes.
We're talking about Paul Stastny.
Okay.
I want to congratulate him on a great deal. Everybody's been hot and cold on this guy since he got here, whether he was played the right way with Hitch or not, whether he was given the opportunity to play with Tarasenko enough, I don't know. All that's behind us now. He's an unbelievable guy, an unbelievable kid. His family's incredible. I love his old man, Peter.
I played with him.
I played with him, yeah. And you did too, yeah.
I did.
And
She playing with him in Quebec?
Quebec, yeah.
So, to me, it was awesome to see that, you know, the Tavares sweepstakes going on. And Pauly, we knew, based upon the lack of centers, he was going to get paid. He's going to Vegas, a ton of speed, a ton of guys that he's going to be able to pass the puck to. So, really happy for him because, as we know here in St. Louis, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. And he's one of those guys where you either loved him or didn't. So, congrats to Pauly.
You just like the family because his dad made you look good in front of 48,000.
No, his dad actually was harder than shit on me. I came in with the long hair and all that. Peter looked at me like I was like off another planet. But Peter and I became really good friends. And I, you know, it's funny. I played with Peter. Then I played with Jan. It's not often you play with a father-son combo, you know. Well, it means you've been around a little too long. But
you're not a common guy.
Pauly was a little snot-nosed kid running around the locker room playing, you know, knee hockey and stuff. But I do have a special attachment to the family, and certainly Pauly. He's a great guy. You've met him. You know, he's an unbelievable guy. He never says no to anybody. So I'm happy for him that he's in Vegas, and he's going to make some good change while he's at it.
Yeah. Before we go, obviously you guys have a lot of fans through the show. Darren, we mentioned earlier, you've taken over your now hometown Granite City Warriors. Got a lot of stuff going on down there. You know, there's sometimes a culture change is needed and things like that. You've got them committed and working really hard down there. Are you enjoying that?
I am. I'm thinking I'm going to turn into Ribs here. Now, Ribs is a lot younger than I am, but when the season starts, I'm going to be on the ice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm on all the time because I'm running two teams now. But there's in Granite City, I come in and I basically told the people this is what I'm doing. This is what it's going to be like, and I won't veer from it. That's what it'll be, and you give me your dedication to this hockey team. And high school's different animals. It's different thinking people are, but I just said, this is what I'm going to do. And so far, they bought into it, and the kids are showing up to all the stuff they need to show up to. And, you know, high school's hockey is a little different than playing at a triple-A level, but they're still – at high school, you still have to put in the effort if you want to be the – you know, you want to keep moving in the right direction. And in high school, my always thought was high school, and I told this when I coached it many years ago you're getting friends for the rest of your life. If you win a championship, it's something you'll remember. And I don't care what level it is. You can win a championship or whatever. You win a tournament, you remember it back. Like, I can remember winning Adam tournaments back when I was young and the kids that I played with. So it's always sticks in your mind. But you're setting values, not just for hockey. You're setting values for the real world. Because when you go out there, you're gonna have to put everything on the line for a job, and you're going to have to beat the next guy out for that job. And that's what high school hockey is all about. It's a little different. AAA, they got their goal set on something different. Like, they're going to think they're running the hockey thing. These guys are putting their mindset of a team value, and it's going to pay off in the long run when they get out of school.
Hey, it's a healthy extracurricular activity for these kids to keep them going down the right path. So, you know, hats off to you.
Yeah.
And then to you, my friend, obviously people that follow you on social media, again, no rest for the weary or the wicked. You're on the ice almost every day. Your camps are running full steam, full as always. I see great pictures of the kids. You know, you're doing amazing stuff this summer, you know, working hard behind the scenes. Looks like we got a deal in Maryland Heights. And, I mean, it's just full steam ahead for you and Synergy Hockey.
Yeah, it's great. You know, summertime is always our busiest time of year. We do have a couple of spots left in a couple of camps. It's eluding me right now, but they are going quickly. We're filling up fast. The kids are awesome. You know, they're working hard. The arenas have been tremendous partners for us. The St. Louis Blues have been incredible partners with us. We've had a fantastic Blues camp. We saw Tom Stillman out and Thorburn and a bunch of things that went on that week. We have something planned again for the next one, the next Blues camp coming up at the Mills, where obviously we have access to more players, more, you know, the locker room and things like that. And that's one of the camps where we can still fill up spots. But yeah, we're busy, and I gotta, you know, hats off to all my coaches who help. We've got like 40 coaches that work for Synergy Hockey in the summertime, and it is go, go, go nonstop, and these guys are awesome. So what do they say? You're only as good as your teammates, right? And that's the whole deal with this, and that's how we treat it, is as a team, and I couldn't do it without these guys.
You know, last thing, you mentioned Tom Stillman coming out and doing this.
I offered him a free spot at the camp so his skills could get a little bit better, too.
Well, we would be remiss, I think, without mentioning that it takes a special ownership group to, let's face it, miss the playoffs, not make that extra revenue, you know, we know what they're dealing with here in the city of St. Louis from a revenue standpoint, although things are trending upward for them as they've made some good business decisions. The reality of it is, in the end, for this deal to happen, Doug Armstrong had to go to Tom Stillman and said, basically, I need $7.5 million in the form of a check today. And Tom Stillman's answer was, you do what you got to do to make this a better hockey team. So for anybody out there that thinks – and I do think Blues fans get it, whereas I think right now the Cardinals are dealing with the opposite. They get it, and they're willing to do what they got to do to try to turn this thing around.
Well, it's pretty incredible, really, when you think about it, because everybody looks at ownership for these sports teams, and they compare it right away to, like, Jerry Jones or Mark Cuban, these guys that are just, like, farting $100 bills, right? And Tom Stillman and the ownership group that own the Blues, yes, they've been very successful in business, and hats off to them for what they've done in their personal life to be able to even own a hockey team or a pro sports team. But they're still a small market team when it comes to revenues that they drive into the front door and advertising and all that. So, yeah, it's a big freaking deal when your ownership says, go for it, and on top of that, we're going to spend to the cap.
Yep.
So I don't want to ever want to hear a St. Louis person talk about how the Blues ownership need to step up or this or that, or they've been mismanaged because of the owners. Bullshit. This is a guy and a group that are fantastic for Doug Armstrong to go to and get the resources. So, yes, hats off to Tom Stillman. You're not going to meet a better guy. And God damn it, last time he came out to camp for us, he was supposed to come out for 15 minutes with the kids. Just a, hey, how you doing, talk to the kids, a group picture. He stayed on the ice for over an hour to help out.
He finally started scoring some goals.
Oh, but no, but kids, yeah. No, but you see what I'm saying, right? Like,
he put the bee-wees in the net.
But you know how it is.
No, that's
you can go
neat.
Into somewhere and you just do it to do it, right?
Yeah.
He was, like, on the ice for over an hour, and then when it was over said, let me know right away, as soon as you can, what I can do for the next camp that we do. So, I don't know. That's my soapbox, and I'm off it now.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a good one, and I think the stories need to be told. And I do think it's done well here in St. Louis where the owner's visible. He's out there. The media or whatever term you want to use for the people that make sure they understand what we have in Tom Stillman and his group. And again, it's not just Tom Stillman. It's a pretty good group. I mean, he did a good job.
He's at the forefront of the group, certainly, but the whole group of them together have always said, let's do this. And if we're doing it, we do it right.
Yeah, and I think Blues fans today, let's face it, at this time yesterday, much happier in a 24-hour period.
For sure.
And rightfully so. So hats off to Doug Armstrong, hats off to Tom Stillman, hats off to both you guys for coming in on a hot Monday.
And a huge hats off from Darren Kimball. Looks like an orange on a toothpick.
Oh, my Lord. Well, hey, guys, we appreciate it. I know the fans are glad you guys took the time to come in today. We want to remind you guys, check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. Do your shopping at Amazon. Listen to back episodes. It's a tremendous way to stay in tune with the show. Again, happy to be part of lineupmedia.fm, home of the newest internet radio station, Yo Radio. Download it. Leave them a review today. You guys are something else.
Lay your head on your huge pillow. Go cry yourself to sleep.
Make sure you check us out on social media at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, at NHL Show. Find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Simply like the page. Click invite your friends. We'd be happy to have you be a part of the conversations. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. And, of course, again, as Jamie throws his material at Darren, It's on here in the studio. I don't know. He said his fighting weight now, Jamie. You better be careful.
Oh, no, not there yet.
Unfortunately, he's creeping into my weight category. I don't like that.
Social media groups, thank you for all your continued support. St. Louis Blues Lounge, We All Bleed Blue, tremendous stuff out there. I tell you what, this community is really enjoying this time right now as far as off-season, whenever you make changes, and especially, like Jamie said, this team goes to the cap. I think it's a big deal. One more time, all of our partners, in-season partners, innovativecompanies.com, Randy and Stephanie Green, thank you for your support. Adam Smokehouse, tremendous barbecue. Get over there and check that out as well. Happy to have everybody be a part of the show. For Jaron Kimball, for Jamie Rivers, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. This is the Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.